Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
And I are called crazy when we say that everybody lies inside the government. Everything's a giant lie. We're crazy for that. But as soon as someone is caught lying, yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, they lie. Yeah. Welcome to another edition of Anti-Media Radio. It is Tuesday, March the 3rd, 3/3/2015. Noel Gallagher's brand new record came out today. That's pretty exciting for me. Oasis, my favorite band of all time. We are joined in the studio tonight, as always, by our wonderfully astute producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. How you doing?
I don't know about astute, but I'm doing pretty good.
All right, let's run down the top stories of the day. We've got Netanyahu. I'm not even going to go there right this second because we're going to
be talking about that ad nauseum.
Yeah,
really.
We also have a town in Texas, Sharpstown, Texas. They passed a couple years. They fired their public police department and hired a private police, and now crime is down 61%. Who would have thought the private sector could do something better than the government? I sure definitely would not have.
And it's kind of amazing, too, because also incidences of police brutality are way down. In fact, now virtually non-existent. Because
in that town we're talking,
right. Let's get that straight right now. Within this one town that has hired a private security force to police their town, and one of the reasons stated in some of the doing some of the research for the story tonight, one of the reasons given was that it possibly could be that a private security firm is not afforded the same liberties that a police force is afforded
right. When
it comes to whipping ass and taking
exactly. I tell you what. Speaking of police, I really want to talk about this. Hopefully, we'll get some updates later on the show. We're still waiting to hear on that. But our own Elisa Cockins works with us at the Anti-Media. Was arrested today for walking in a building. She didn't break any laws. She was there filming the protest about Africa, the homeless man that was killed in L.A. I'm sure everybody's seen that video by now. And so one of our own was arrested today. And, our thoughts and prayers are going out to her right now. And we know she'll be all right.
And that would be two staff members very recently.
Yeah, because Patty went through the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And she's still tied up in court over that as well.
She is, and Elise has gone through this before, so, it's not the end of the world, but, it's really a shame that somebody's just there filming and they get arrested for literally breaking no law. I heard, too, that two other people...
Breaking what law?
Exactly. What law? I heard, too, that two other people had walked into the police station just to, like, check on her. They were both arrested later on. What's so crazy is that there were people walking in and out of the building this entire time. There were people not getting arrested. She walks in the building. She gets arrested for it. Just, you know, Alisa Cawkins, it's just a shame. We also have big, big, big news about Hillary.
Big shot. Oh, shady, shady Clinton.
Wait, a Clinton?
Man, I'm going to tell you what.
I'll tell you this. This is what I think. I think that Hillary could be so bogged down by her own political weight. Before this is all said and done, she may not even get the nomination, and they may have to give it to Elizabeth Warren. You know, as I've said, you know, over and over and over again on this broadcast, the next president's going to be a Republican. That's just how it's set up.
Unfortunately, I think his last name is going to carry name of several Republican presidents.
I'm worried that may be true. It's either going to be him or they're using him as a side play to get everybody distracted and say, well, we're not voting for a Bush, so we're just going to vote for the next guy. And they're using him kind of to deter people. Absolutely. But either way, he is definitely in the conversation for whatever reason. And then you also have David Petraeus pleading guilty to something he should have at least served 5 years in prison for. You know, everybody thought, well, he had an affair. How's he resign over affair? Blah, blah, blah. You know, anybody's got a brain, knew there was something deeper going on at the time. Turns out he's handing over information to the woman that his side chick, basically.
Well, and apparently he also had another side chick, and that, upon further investigation of the story, apparently there was another woman that he was involved with simultaneously, and somehow there was cross communication between the two women.
Oh, well, he only got he didn't do anything that wrong. He got a $40,000 fine and 2 years on probation.
So he got two side chicks. He's also married. There was an FBI investigation into him and all of his cohorts because, again, he was a four-star general.
They only gave him a $40,000 fine and 2 years of probation. How could he have done anything wrong? Our justice system works. They don't show favoritism.
And, again, he is a four-star general, so don't think for a second that he's going to lose a day's work or a day's pay over.
Well, he's retired now, and that's all it's about. The guy had money before he became head of the CIA. So, you know, he wasn't there long. I think he went in, like, the end of 2011 or something like that. But if anybody wants to call into the show tonight, please, please, you are more than welcome to. Phone number, area code 718-717-8296. Again, if you want to call in tonight, the area code is 718-717-8296. Now, on to the topic of the night.
The elephant in the room, as it were.
Woo!
Benji, come on now. What you doing, boy?
Benjamin Netanyahu has the audacity, I guess. I mean, you have to applaud him for just sticking to his story.
Let me give you the headline that I wrote as we were preparing for the show tonight. And I'm going to read you verbatim what I wrote. Benjamin Netanyahu tells Congress the same damn story he's been telling for over 20 years. Iran could go nuclear at any minute.
Any minute.
Like, could be 5 years
right now.
Years
right
from
now.
Could be 7 years. Could be a year from now.
Now.
They're three screws away. Three screws away from having
now.
An atomic warhead.
Right now. Nope. Now.
Yeah.
Benjamin Netanyahu has literally been saying the exact same thing since he was in Israeli parliament in 1992. This is the same guy that comes over to the United States as the former prime minister at the time and starts talking about Saddam has got weapons of mass destruction. What's going to happen to the world? He said it in 92. He said it in 95. He said it in 2002. He said it in 2009. He said it in 2012. In 2012, he made a huge statement at the UN, like this grandiose gesture, like had signs, like he was showing, like, oh, I've got pictures. Iran's going to bomb everybody. Iran's got nuclear weapons. And the Mossad, if anybody doesn't know what the Mossad is, please look it up. Maybe the best intelligence agency in the world, but they are definitely the Israeli version of the CIA. The Mossad does some really shady stuff, but they know what's going on for good or for bad. And the Mossad even comes out in 2012 and said, yeah, we know Bibi said all this stuff, but none of that's true. They completely contradicted everything that he said in his grand gesture in front of the UN. But Iran was not about to get nuclear weapons. And what do you think? Okay, let's just say for instance that Netanyahu's right this time. Even though clearly he's for 23 years now, he has said imminent, it's imminent, it's imminent. Right now, months, weeks. He literally in 2012 said weeks away. Yeah, hadn't happened yet. But let's say, for instance, like, he's right. Okay, what do you think Iran, do you think, if they even have these capabilities, do you think they're dumb enough to fire a missile at anyone? And you get the rhetoric of, well, these crazy suicide bombers, they're just gonna blow people up. And look, the people in charge of Iran are as corrupt and power hungry. It's the people in charge of Israel and the people in charge of the United States. It's the same mentality. These people aren't going to relinquish their power because, you know, it's some glorious grand religious mission for them. They don't care. They're power hungry.
It's kind of a case of cutting your head off to spite your
face. Right. They're power hungry. And Iran, who has not invaded, look, and here's the deal with Iran. There's nothing about Iran that we should be bragging to the world about.
No, their civil rights records
they're deplorable. It's deplorable. They treat their citizens like garbage, and there's nothing.
Women's rights are virtually non-existent there also, but they're also non-existent in other countries.
In other countries, and we'll get into that in a second.
SA.
Yeah, buddy. But, you know, just because, you know, Iran does do terrible things to its citizens, which they do, we're also saying, you know, Netanyahu gets out there today and says that Iran's already taken over part of the world. They've already infiltrated. And they haven't. They haven't. They haven't gone anywhere. They haven't messed with anybody. Iran knows. And you have to remember, it's the people in power, okay? Is there some crazy person that's going to go blow themselves up on a street corner? Sure, there's people like that.
We have people like that here.
Exactly. But they join the military. But they know the people in power want to keep that power. They don't want to kill themselves. So they're aware that if they fire a missile, okay, and they fire legitimate nuclear weapon towards Israel or towards the United States or towards whoever, you're going to have people coming out of the woodwork to be like, you can't do that. Tehran will be a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground. And they know this. They're not fools.
Well, and look back at when Pakistan finally got, as they refer to, the Islamic bomb. And last time I checked, we're still friendly with Pakistan. Why, I can't figure out unless it has something to do with the fact that they're nuclear. Maybe.
Could it be?
No. So maybe, well, you know, maybe then again, we could take this a step further and let Iran go ahead and go nuclear so we can be friendly with them.
Well.
And we can start trading with them. And they can openly house people that have, you know, well, I mean, where was Saddam Hussein hanging out there for a little while?
What? Hussein? He was evil. The Bushes told me so.
Yeah.
The Bushes created
that situation, so that in turn makes the Bushes evil, right?
Well, you remember, I tell you what, you remember the old song growing up? from Sunday school because the Bible told me so. Did you know it's been amended?
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, it's actually, they sing it as because the Bush has told me so. Mm-hmm. That's how I sing it.
Yeah.
But Iran is not stupid enough to mess with. Who have they invaded? If one person out there can call me and tell me who Iran has invaded, please do. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice.
Because, you know, they sit here and go on and on and on. They're the worst terrorist state in the world. Again, Iran is they deplorable records. It's not this great sanctuary. It's not. That being said, who have they messed with outside of their borders? Nobody. Speaking of people that mess with people outside of their borders, here's the true irony of all this. We talk about, like, the extreme religion of Iran, and, you know, and they do. They have the crazy rhetoric down with America. They say that stuff. Still haven't done anything about it. Netanyahu's been saying this exact same stuff since 1992. Give me a break. What about Saudi Arabia? Did you hear Netanyahu mention Saudi Arabia today? Did you hear those words come out of his mouth? Because if you want to talk about regimes that are bonkers, that's the one to talk about. Because the Middle East, like every single thing Benjamin Netanyahu and Fox News and Sean Hannity talks about, they describe Saudi Arabia. And they put it on Iran. Saudi Arabia, okay, there's this Islamic scholar. He just, like, in the past couple of days, received the most prestigious award you can get and was presented to him by the new king, King Solomon, for his service. The problem with that is that the guy that received this award, you know, and he's a scholar, he's an intellect. He knows what he's talking about, you know how people hold people up. He said, well, the Quran allows Muslims to have sex with female slaves. Yeah. Basically, the guy was just like, yeah, rape with somebody lower than you, that's okay. You can rape.
Well, rape's all right. Not just somebody lower than you, somebody that you pretty much look at and say, you know what? I don't think you get to be free anymore. I'm going to snatch you up. You're going to be my slave.
They put this. They gave this guy an award.
Yeah.
Like the highest award the country has, and we're talking about Iran.
Yeah.
Were 15 of the 19 hijackers from Iran for 9/11?
Any women got to vote on that award?
Yeah, probably not.
Were 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 from Iran?
No, and they were from. Wait a minute. No. I know the answer to this. They 15. With that, we were just talking about them. Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. And everybody has the audacity, these idiots, want to sit here and talk about Iran, Iran, Iran. What has Iran done to you? What has Iran done to me? Nothing. They haven't done anything to anybody outside their borders. Again, I stress, they are not, you know, a great place. Their government is massively corrupt.
Absolutely.
They do not treat their citizens well.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem you have.
Sounds exactly like what I see when I walk outside from here.
But
when I click on the internet and I see the police state that we now
live in. Oh, man.
When I click on
and that's what, to me, that's what Saudi Arabia is.
Given television station and I have to turn the sound off.
See, people.
And get subjected to all, I mean, we are no better, and if America takes any kind of action and any kind of stance with Israel on this, which I'm pretty sure we're not going to, we know and we've learned.
They will in 2016.
We've unfortunately learned the hard way about improperly, you know, accusing folks of having nuclear weaponry or working on a nuclear program.
Oh, it's imminent. You know it's imminent. You know Saddam Hussein is going to resurrect and get those nuclear weapons and justify everything we did. You know that Iran's already working on it. They've got it. Forget what the Mossad said. Forget what Reuters reported in 2012. Forget all of that.
Well, look, let's take this a step deeper, all right? Okay, Iran's going to go nuclear. So?
Yeah, what are they going to do? We've already touched. What are they going to do?
I mean, I can't understand why people can't get past that one simple truth. So,
right.
I mean,
good.
Really, what
are they going to fire
again?
It?
And I point to the situation with Pakistan going nuclear, you know, or anybody else in that region that eventually goes nuclear. India's doing
look at the Cold War. We had the two baddest people on the block with the Soviet Union, United States, just staring people down. We had, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
China right behind them.
Yeah, I mean, and what's happened?
Nothing. Absolutely, because if one nuclear weapon is fired in anybody, the rest of the world knows that we're going to find out who our real friends are, and every one of our
but
friends
it's not
has
about the
nuclear weapons.
Firing a nuclear weapon is a suicide mission.
Absolutely,
and there are people out there that
and
believe,
even the United States knows this as far as their
everybody knows that, and the thing that people have been brainwashed into believing. Well, these radical Muslims, they're all about some suicide bombings. Look, people are people, and people are corrupt with power. They want power. These people in charge of Iran aren't going anywhere.
Absolutely.
They're not.
It's bad for business.
Right, it's bad for business. And they haven't attacked anyone.
Absolutely.
There is more blood. Last fall, Israel bombed Palestinians. 2,000 Palestinians were dead. 500 children were dead. But Israel wants peace. The United States and Israel are the two countries in the world claiming we're the only ones that want peace. What's up with you people? Who are the people crossing other borders? Has Iran crossed a border yet? I hadn't seen it. Has the United States? About 12 times just today.
Yeah.
Has Israel done it? You better believe they have. So it's the people that say they want peace are the one crossing borders. And the evil, evil people, they haven't crossed a border. They haven't done it. Has ISIS come to the United States? Have you seen anything? No. Did Al-Qaeda? That's questionable. But, you know, we still don't have all the answers to that. But let's just say one day one thing happened. Let's just be complete devil's advocate and throw all logic on that day and say, you know, one thing happened on one day. That's terrible. Does that warrant just bombing countries endlessly and you just have this open-ended war?
A lot of other people, innocent people, civilians in other countries.
Over a million people died in Iraq.
Died.
Over a million people died in Iraq.
That had nothing to do with any of this backroom shady dealing that the America's been dealing with in that region for quite some time, ever since we discovered there's a big giant pile of oil over there.
Oh, no. You don't think it's about finance and interest, do you?
So
what you're insinuating is that it's possible, just hypothetically possible, that there's people in the United States that may not have the best of intentions, and these people somehow garnered some sort of power, and they wield their influence for their selfish intentions and to achieve and garner more power. Are you telling me that's possible? But we're in America.
Yeah, that's the way the machine's oiled, my friend.
No.
It is.
I don't believe it. But we're in America. There's 50 stars on that flag. It's red, white, and blue.
It is.
It's red, white, and blue. We have we're heroes. That's what I'm told. We're heroes. Everybody else is below us. Except Israel, of course.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're friends. We're friends.
Sean Hannity tweeted out today that Netanyahu was like equivalent to Winston Churchill or some crap. Like,
what?
There are people, there are not just people, a lot.
You're talking about Sean Hannity, the Charles Morrow of our day. And
oh, yes, yeah. The most upstanding journalist that we have. Him and his plastic dome on top of his head. Oh, Sean Hannity. You know what? If you're listening, Sean, call in tonight. Call in on Thursday. Sean Hannity, you're welcome to call in and talk to me anytime you want. Because we all know that I've already called you out enough times and destroyed all of your arguments that it's different when you want to come at somebody that knows what they're talking about. Because you get people that call in on your radio show and you can hang up on them. But let's talk about it as men. Come on, Sean. Give us a call.
Well, you know, when you're force-fed, you know, the grass and oats that he's fed and regurgitate what he's supposed to regurgitate, I mean, you can't really expect him to go toe-to-toe with somebody who's actually educated themselves and informed themselves. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. So, well, maybe one of these people will give it to him. I don't know.
Well, you know, Russell Brand and him had the big beef, and I know there's a lot of diverse opinions about Russell Brand and all that, but Russell Brand called him out pretty good, and he was scheduled to appear on Hannity. Got there to Fox in New York. Banned from the building. Wouldn't let him in. Wouldn't let him up. They let him in the lobby finally. Canceled his appearance. No explanation. That's Sean Hannity. And that's not a defense of Russell Brand or anything, but Brand is an intelligent person, whether you agree or disagree with him, had a differing opinion of Hannity, and had a very intellectual argument against the stupid stuff that comes out of Sean's mouth. And then Sean was just like, nah, that's not going to happen. None of my watch.
Well, Sean said that wasn't going to happen because apparently the hand that's usually up his ass to work his puppet mouth wasn't there that day. And
well, they knew they couldn't deal. They knew they couldn't deal with somebody that talked that
because
fast.
Because he's not
they
a
knew.
Free think. He's not a free thinking individual Brand is. Regardless of what you've got to say about Russell Brand, and I truly think Russell Brand is absolutely brilliant. He's probably one of the more brilliant. And again, he is still continually educating himself, just like we all are. All the people that are listening
to
the podcast.
Russell Brand doesn't have all the answers.
Broadcast tonight. No, he does not have all the answers, and he's been wrong. We've been wrong. We've been wrong on this airway before, and you know, we have to kind of...
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, facts and
right.
Maybe we misspoke and then have corrected it later on, and again, we still encourage people to, you know, if we make any kind of mistake, let us know. Give us a comment on our YouTube page. Hit us up on Facebook. We're easy to find.
Yeah, we are easy to find. We just crossed 600,000 followers this past week.
Good times.
On Facebook. But, you know, there's all this stuff in the news, and I can't really, really get past Netanyahu. But I tell you what, before we talk about that, let's go to a caller, area code 412. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
It's Sandra.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Okay, this is, for everybody that doesn't know, this is Cassandra Rule. She, you know, she's a big celebrity online. And but she has all the info about Lisa, which we were talking about earlier. So you were with Lisa, right, when she was arrested?
Yeah. I had just gotten to the protest, and she was arrested like 10 minutes later.
Okay, so what actually transpired?
Okay, so basically, the police commissioner's meeting was in the LAPD headquarters, which is a public building, which is open 24 hours a day for anybody to go inside. The police commissioner's meeting was open to the public, but for some reason, they decided no more people could go in or protesters couldn't go in. I'm not really clear on why it was blocked off, but it was. And she wanted to go inside into the meeting. So she tried to go into the building, and all these cops lunged on her and were like, no, you'll be arrested if you try and go in there for trespassing, et cetera, et cetera. So Lisa, being Lisa, was like, forget this, I'm doing it anyway. and went back and handed me her purse and her phone and was walked into the building and got arrested. And so then
did they rough her up that you saw, or did they just arrest her?
No, they arrested her peacefully. She put her hands behind her back right away and she was arrested. But then she ended up being charged with some weird charge that is trying to start a fight or challenging someone to a fight.
Wow.
But she didn't, and I was standing there, and I have it all on video, which I'll upload when I get home.
Yes, and tomorrow, everybody check out the Free Thought Project, who Cassandra writes for, and Anti-Media will have all this information. So, okay, were there people walking in after her, after they arrested her? Because that's the story I heard, is there were people just walking in and out of the building after they made this, you know, demand that she wasn't allowed to go in.
Yeah, it seemed like people were going in and out freely. I mean, not people from the protest. But then, after she was arrested, two other women, Evelyn and Andrea, I think her name was, they wanted to go inside to get information on Alyssa. So they went in, and the meeting was already over. But as soon as they walked into the building, like 10 big male LAPD officers jumped on her and tackled her like she was, like, you know, some kind of threat. They tackled Evelyn. Supposedly there's videos.
She looked like a really big, burly kind of girl, you know.
So wait, you're saying that they tackled her?
That's what I've heard. I was not there. I wasn't close enough to see what happened when it went down. But apparently there's video of that, which I'm going to look at when I get home.
Wow. So as far as, I guess, both of us know that they're all still locked up?
Yeah. I've been talking to Alyssa's mom, and she found a lawyer that's willing to take it pro bono. But we haven't been able to get her out yet or anything.
Wow. And
but when we went to LAPD headquarters, uh-huh. I mean, we went to where they were holding her to find out what her charges were, because the police who arrested her told us that she was going to be charged with trespassing, which is like nothing. And when we got there, the charge had changed, saying that she was challenging someone to a fight, which did not happen.
Right. And I'm sure every single bit of that is on video. And you know, yeah. We all know her well enough to know she wasn't challenging anybody to a fight. She was, was it a month ago she was arrested for filming somebody?
Yeah, she's been getting arrested quite a bit lately.
She has been.
I love Alyssa so much.
So, you know, do you have any advice for everybody out there listening, what they can do, who they can call to help speed the situation up?
I mean, I guess you can try calling the detention center where she's being held. I don't know if it'll help or hurt, though, at this point. When I went in there, they told me that her bail would probably be no higher than 500, but that she'll most likely get OR'd, released on her own recognizance. And Alyssa doesn't like to be bailed out anyway. It's against her principles.
Oh, she refused last time.
Yeah, she won't. She doesn't do bail. She won't pay the ransom money.
Yeah.
So she'll sit there because I would have bailed her out today, but I knew that she'd be upset with me.
Well, there were people lining up to bail her out last time, and she's like, "I'm not giving the state money. This isn't going to happen. I'll just sit here."
Yeah, she's not being extorted.
No, I'll give her that. I mean, she, you know, there's not many people I applaud left on this planet, but she's one of them.
Yeah, she's strong. Strong woman.
Well, thank you so much, Cassandra, for calling in and kind of giving everybody the details of what's going on. I knew you were there. You were on the ground. You knew way more than I did.
No worries. Anytime.
So thank you so much, everybody. Cassandra rules.
Thank you.
Free Thought Project, great writer for them. But yeah, so we've got, you know, one of our own in jail for absolutely nothing.
That's definitely the, you know, the definition of active as far as activism goes.
And the irony is she didn't just go down there, you know, for no reason on her own accord. She was down there because they had just killed a homeless person, which there's video of. And again, you know, everybody's going through the situation. Well, did he try to grab the gun? Did he not try to grab the gun? Blah, blah, blah. You killed somebody. You literally killed somebody.
You know, I wonder how much the city of Los Angeles loses annually because of police brutality cases and lawsuits, defense of police brutality lawsuits, and stuff like this. Now, we're talking about a homeless person, so obviously there's not going to be a whole huge outcry.
There is, but see, that's the thing.
That is sick. That is absolutely sick.
Here's, like, I guess really since Trayvon Martin, and again, we've talked about Trayvon Martin, and I think that was a horrible, horrible, horrible situation.
Absolutely.
My situation, my beliefs, again, with Trayvon Martin, first off, I, of course, don't believe that in any way he should have been killed that day. But to me, Trayvon Martin is excluded from the conversation because Zimmerman was not a government-sanctioned tax, you know, I'm getting my paycheck from the taxpayer.
His father was a judge, so right. I don't know how that works.
But for me, this entire situation really kicked off with Michael Brown. You're talking a police officer. You got Eric Garner. You got Tamir Rice, which
that's a whole different story altogether. Because that's just that. I mean, we're talking about a 12-year-old baby. We're talking about a child.
Well, you heard the city of Cleveland came out and said that was his fault.
Yeah, they had their eyes.
It was his fault. A 12-year-old child.
That is their official public statement in court, and because they're having to defend themselves in a lawsuit right now. Their official statement is that his actions led directly to his demise by playing with a toy gun.
By being a 12-year-old child in a park?
I mean, has anybody seen the video?
Hopefully everybody's seen the video.
And if you haven't seen the video, if you're within earshot of this broadcast, you have to see that video because it is heartbreaking.
Well, they blamed it on him. And his sister? Like his sister? How in the world they even...
His sister that was handcuffed after she saw her baby brother, her little 12-year-old brother, get shot by police and is going hysterical. And is put in handcuffs and put in the back of a police car. And then the police give the mother, who's absolutely distraught, with her daughter unjustly in a police car, her son unjustly laying in the middle of the park, dead from multiple gunshot wounds, all right? And she has to choose which one she gets to run to because the police gave her this choice. You can either stay in the squad car with your daughter, who's in handcuffs, or you can go out there and grieve for your son, but you got to pick one or the other because we're fixing to haul her off and we're fixing to haul him off. Is that not the most, I mean, that's hard, that is heart-wrenching.
But just
for a mother to have to go through something like that, all in the name of justice,
how dare this country, how
absolutely
dare them,
absolutely,
how dare them insinuate what they, the things that they talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what? Here's
all about
the
peace and freedom, man. That's all we're about is peace and freedom.
Yeah, and as soon as something does not line up with your beliefs, you make excuses. You excuse it. You excuse the death of a 12-year-old boy. How dare these people?
And then turn around and not only excuse it, and then turn around and justify it, and lie upon lie upon lie upon lie, backpedal upon backpedal upon backpedal.
Because it's all about money. It's all about position. Because you know what? It's the police unions. It's the entire financial structure surrounding these things. These institutions. Give me a break.
I mean, you have to understand and have to start to ask yourself, why are the police policing the way that they are? And why is this over Just absolute, you know, tyranny of the police state that we live in. Why is this allowed to continue?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw out, I'm going to get real here. I can tell you why it's allowed to continue, because there's no repercussions for anything.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's the reason it's allowed to continue.
We have to ask ourselves, why are there no repercussions? Now, we both know the answer.
Right, it's the police unions and the money that you know they throw around.
It's about who the police really are truly protecting.
They're themselves.
And certainly,
they're
not,
protecting themselves.
And certainly not only themselves, but the people that put them into power and position to begin with, and give them the freedom,
police are elected.
Give them the freedoms to go ahead and do whatever the living hell they want to under the guise of their shiny little badge that they wear on their chest. And again, I'm not saying that all police and all first responders are bad and evil people, but I'm saying that
they're
police,
not. That's
but,
the thing.
But there are so many anecdotes that we can't just turn a blind eye to Tamir Rice, to Eric Garner.
But the problem we have in this country. And again, you can go so far down the path of every single police officer in this country is enforcing bad laws. That is a given. That is a fact. The laws that stand on the books in this country are absolutely ridiculous. They are meant to generate revenue. I completely get that. That being said, is every police officer in this country bad? No. Are the majority of police officers in this country bad people? I don't believe so, personally.
I don't either.
I do know that with everything, no matter what job you're talking about, there is a substance, like there's just this group of people that are just not good people, and they are there to serve and protect you. And they do bad things. The problem that we have as a country is when these bad people do bad things, they should be reprimanded.
Absolutely.
And we don't
reprimanded
get that.
The same way that any other average American citizen should
and
be reprimanded.
That,
if a cop outright murders somebody, they need to be charged with murder.
Yes.
Instead of some sort of crap, you know, manslaughter.
Right. And they get, you know, they get paid vacation for 6 months.
Yeah.
That's the
Until
real issue.
Until we sort this
issue.
Whole thing out.
That's the issue.
Straight.
That's the issue. Look, you're going to have bad people in positions of power. That's human nature. You know, people need to look at this from a human standpoint. Of course there's going to be bad people in everything. That's just the world we live in. The problem is when these people commit these atrocious acts, they're not punished.
At all. In some cases, not at all.
Not even tried. Even tried. How in the world? How in the world? The cop that killed Mike Brown wasn't tried.
Darren Wilson, yeah.
I'm not saying
that he should have gotten a capital murder charge, but he should have looked. If he were an average citizen, if that were a disagreement
that's
between
it.
Two average citizens.
And that's what people
miss. Without the badge, there and for somebody to get into a
it's
physical
crazy.
Altercation
it's
for
crazy.
Somebody. Then take off running when a gun's brandishing. The person shooting the gun is going to face discharging a weapon in public, and voluntary
yes!
manslaughter, some, even on the lesser end of it.
And that's the thing. It's like it's not that Wilson wasn't charged. We were never even given the opportunity to charge him.
Let's go
and then there's people out there who say, we.
Let's
no,
go
we
a step further
are the
with
people.
It. And let's say the Eric Garner situation.
Good.
Oh man,
gosh.
That's straight up murder, man. That's
it's
a,
on
that's
tape.
A murder charge. Somebody filming
that's
a murder.
To me, that's first degree murder.
Yeah.
First degree murder.
Yeah.
Now you know what? If he wants to plead down, or you charge him for something else, whatever. That guy's going to jail. If I choke somebody out, I'm going to jail.
It's the same thing as if a shopkeeper came out. To somebody begging for change in his parking lot, tells him to get out, the guy goes to leave, and then he goes to put him in a stranglehold and accidentally kills him. What charge is that shopkeeper going to face? Oh, several of them.
Well, the precedent's been set, nothing.
Yeah.
The precedent has been set. murder at will as long as you have a shiny little pin on your chest.
Well, then if this analogy is like that, that must mean that the merchant sells gas. Anyways.
Murder at will.
Yeah.
But that's what people don't realize. They want to, how dare the people of this country defend Darren Wilson to the point of saying he shouldn't even be tried. He wasn't even acquitted. Like, are you kidding? Are you serious with this? Like you believe in law and order and justice? That's fine. I was not there. I'm not saying Darren Wilson was guilty of murder. I was not there. But you know what? I know there was enough questions that the man should be tried.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And at least all of the evidence be heard. Not, you know, and again, there was, you know, and I've actually perused the evidence. I don't normally, in my spare time, read transcripts from trials. But I definitely took a look at that one, and it was an eye-opener, to be sure. In fact, I was kind of on the fence of it, and this is you know, Darren Wilson's testimony. Some of the things that were said. And
he changed his story 15 times.
And I encourage anybody to go back and look at it. Well, his story started off as his version of the truth, and there were things that were added and subtracted from, and things that were kind of moved around.
His story shifted when witnesses came in and out.
And it shifted when it was supposed to keep his ass in the clear. You know, and I don't know if that was a story fed to him by the police union or his attorney or something that he was able to think up by himself. I really doubt that because he seems to be a man of, well, average intelligence at best.
Well, he was a cop. We know for a fact he wasn't a genius because you have to have a certain level of IQ to be a cop. And you know what? That's not on the high level.
No.
You got to be a certain level of stupid Forrest Gump to become a cop. I said it.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to get mad at me, get mad at me. Those are facts. I still think...
Yeah, it really is.
I still think there are cops out there with really good hearts. And
absolutely.
Want to do the right thing.
With intention and are doing the right thing day in and day out. And those cops are definitely to be applauded.
But they're still enforcing bad laws.
Well, and again,
that's the whole trick to this whole
again,
thing. Even the good guys are enforcing bad laws.
There's still police officers out there that know they're enforcing crap laws that will, from time to time, in certain situations, particularly if you're a certain skin color, I might add, looked the other way about it. But, you know, I hate to be that way about it, but that's really where we live. And we can take this a step back and look at that town down in Texas. Which town was that? Do you have that wrote down?
Sharp. Well, I knew it because I was writing about it earlier, but Sharptown, Texas, and they got rid of the public police department, and they hired a private contract.
Way down. Situations are still
61% or something like that. Two-thirds, almost two-thirds.
Their liability is going to go way down because these are private, you know, individuals that don't have the special protection the bells and whistles that all the police officers have.
Well, we've talked about, you talk about private protection. We've talked about the town in Georgia. That it's a law that you own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
There's no crime there. Like, there's no crime.
Yeah.
Because everybody's packing.
Yeah.
Who's going to mess with somebody you know has got a gun on them?
So going back on that same theory, then what's wrong with Iran having their nuclear weapon, too?
Ding, 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 ding.
I say forget about trying to, you know, trying to prevent any other country from going nuclear. Let everybody go nuclear to get as many atomic weapons as you want to get. Because number one, first off, you have to pay a lot of money to maintain your nuclear weaponry. Russia will tell you all about that because they're sitting on a pile of junk nukes right now. You know.
Listen. Here's the thing. It's the same thing with guns to me. It's the same thing with nuclear weapons. I don't want anybody using a gun. I agree. In a perfect situation, in a perfect world, and in liberal fantasy land, that'd be great if nobody had a gun. That's outlaw guns. That'd be great. That's outlaw their nuclear weapons. That'd be great. Nobody gets anything. Okay, that's fair enough. As long as everybody's on an even playing field, I'm down with that. But everybody's not going to be on even playing field. So, you know, there's so many guns that have entered the hands of people in this country. Criminals aren't going to hand them over. The United States is not anywhere close going to be handing over their nuclear weapons. So because of that, you know what? Everybody gets them. You know, it's everybody or nobody. Because it's whatever creates this equality across the board. Because it's about protection. And really, that goes into a whole different level too, because we're talking about these invisible borders, and we're talking about you against me, and you against me, and you against me. It's like we're all humans. That's crazy too, because you know what? Somebody that's born in Iran, that's just mine. There's some kid born in Iran, or some kid born in the West Bank, or some kid born in Gaza, or some kid born in Jerusalem. You know, they want everybody to believe that we're different. A kid born in Moscow is the same as a kid born in Jerusalem, is the same as a kid born in L.A.
It's the same as a kid born in Sudan, it's the same as a kid That's born it. In India. You know?
And we have situations all over this world where there are people dying. They don't care about it. They only care about people in countries that are financially viable for selfish reasons and their own interests. Do you know how many countries in Africa are doing horrible, horrible things and you never hear about it?
Absolutely.
There are people being wiped out in Africa.
Absolutely.
They don't care. They don't care about Saudi Arabia because they're feeding us. They're feeding us. They're feeding us.
Well, Saudi Arabia doesn't have anything to offer. Oh, wait a minute. They got all that oil. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
But so does Syria. So does Libya. All these countries do. Every single country over there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing to me that's really telling about the state of the mentality of the conservative in this country. Because I've heard the rhetoric over and over and over. Well, Ronald Reagan really put his foot down when it came to Gaddafi. How dare Gaddafi? How dare him? 1980s.
So we
I'm
going to
put him in his place.
And we went and actually drove him out of the country, drove him into a foxhole, found the foxhole, and then hung him on somebody else.
That was somebody else.
Yeah, something like that.
But with Gaddafi in the 80s, you know, and everybody talks about Reagan's a man. And Obama, they are just like Obama doesn't have any power. Like, they just talk about what a woman Obama is, basically, and not being offensive, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he just gets rolled over.
I actually can't think of
But here's the irony. Get this. Reagan bombed Gaddafi. Obama killed Gaddafi. Let's get real. The United States is saying killed Gaddafi. We know that happened.
Yeah.
These are facts.
Yeah.
So why is Reagan a man for scaring Gaddafi? Obama kills him, but he's weak. That doesn't make sense to me. Like people don't look at reality. All they look at is their preconceived ideas of their political allegiance and the way they were brought up. They look at everything that's been ingrained in them since they were a child. And they don't want anything to disrupt.
And most importantly, not even doing the research necessary to kind of come up with an informed conclusion about it. And only reading just the headlines or the little quick blurb that they caught on network news back in the mid-80s.
That's all anybody does. Still to this day, look, with our stories at Anti-Media, I can tell you for a fact so many people just jump at the headline, and they just want to comment on the headline. It's like, well, guess what? I may or may not intentionally be giving you a BS headline just to rope you in. Read the article.
Absolutely.
Be informed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by me, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But what if I do give you a BS title? Maybe it's just to play on you.
No, gosh, I can't tell you how many times I log on to Facebook and see something that somebody has posted up that are absolutely, truly outraged by. And it'll be a headline that I'm like, what? And click on it real quick and then read the story and realize that it's 100% pure, out and out, almost damn near The Onion satire. And these people are like, I just hope this doesn't happen. This country's going to hell, blah, blah, this and this, that, and the other. And didn't even read the whole damn story. Didn't even read the facts, the first two sentences.
And that's the problem. Everybody wants, and this is something I go on about at length with the people in my life. This is the thing that infuriates me about people. It's people that assume things. I don't necessarily going to say that I agree or disagree with your opinion if you're educated. Because you know what? There's so many people out there that know more than I do.
Absolutely.
But anybody that assumes something. Hey, I remember I was 6 years old and you know, I'm from the South. Now, I'll never forget, 6 years old, my uncle told me, he goes, you know what assuming does, don't you? Makes an ass out of you and me. And that's what it is. Anybody wants to read up the headline, the title of an article, or hear half the situation and comment on it like they know what's going on, like with Netanyahu. Okay, you know so much. You heard what Sean Hannity said, but do you know that Netanyahu has talked about this since 1992 and said it's imminent for 23 years. Yeah. It's imminent. We're weeks away, years. Like, it's literally happening right now.
Is that
for 23
is that
years?
The definition of imminent now, 23 years.
Right.
And counting.
Yeah. Right. And counting.
Yeah.
He said it over and over and over and over and over and over. And it's insane. Like, but it's all based on assumption. It's all based on preconceived ideals that they're raised with. And, you know, liberal people believe what they believe. Conservative people believe what they believe. But guess what? Who cares? I don't care what any of you believe. Right is right and wrong is wrong.
Absolutely.
I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Period. If you got your information from Sean Hannity, congratulations. You probably don't know anything. If you got your information from MSNBC and Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews, congratulations. You probably don't know anything. It's looking at every individual situation, case by case, and judging it as a human and saying, is this right or wrong?
I mean, I can't tell you how many people, when the net neutrality ruling through the FCC came down, how many people over the few days afterwards were asking, what is net neutrality? Even posting on Facebook, could somebody please tell me what net neutrality is? You know, LOL.
Right.
And nobody really cares about it, yet at the same time, this is something I've seen plastered all over the internet that it directly affects. You know, go do a little bit of homework. Google is not that hard of a website to get on. I've got a button on my phone. I can punch it. Bam, I'm there, and I can ask it any question and go wherever I want to and then go to a different search engine and go wherever I want to. And
well, to a degree.
Read the watered-down little generic version of it. Read somebody else's breaking down of it. Read somebody else's breaking down of it on this side, on that side, so on and so forth.
Don't forget.
This person involved in this industry, this, that, and then get a whole complete story. Or at least get my own informed opinion about it.
And
it will be an opinion at the end of the day, because there still will be absolute truths and supposed truths and so on and so forth that I still don't quite understand or can nail down. But man, everybody just needs to wake up. They really do. And quit being force-fed all of the information you are. Just sit back and accept a quick hand job.
I don't care. I honestly do not care if somebody disagrees with me. I do not care.
I love it when people disagree.
I want people to be informed. But I tell you what, Sean Hannity, we'll talk to you next Thursday. So join us Thursday when we talk to Sean Hannity.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.